What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm Ant.
And I'm Jacob.
And we are here for the 50th time. Man, you have one job.
Hands were not loaded, my bad, all right?
Okay. Well, we got to do it right on the 50th episode, right?
Absolutely. So, I think we got a pretty fun one lined up for everybody. Go ahead.
We got guests. We got guests from coast to coast, literally.
Yep. You want me to intro?
I would love for you to introduce our guest for tonight. Let's have it.
Sorry. So first and foremost, of course, we're gentlemen here on Clocks Running. We're going to introduce the lady of the show. She's the OG of She Unit. She's the quarterback who slings the most rocks with the most problems. It comes out firing every time. Welcome, Jonah.
Hi. Thanks for having me. The big 5-0 episode. I'm honored.
Absolutely. All right. If we're bringing in our other guest, he's the only person to survive a caker quake. He is the face and the logo of the show. He is the Randolph Wrangler. Bring in Jordan.
I'm in awe right now. I don't even know what to say, because this is just like, first and foremost, Jordan, you are the logo. So, but you've been here from the start. You were in the initial episode with us. And Jonah, it's so good to have you, because you and me have had a lot of experiences together. We'll get into that. And it's just, it's exciting to have you here. I know you got a lot to share with the show. So let's get right into it. What we like to do when we have a new guest on is, with Marvel Comics, there's always an origin story for the superhero. So Jonah, we want to give you the opportunity to kind of share your origin story with flag football. So don't spare any details. We want to hear all about it and tell us about you.
Yeah, I love that framing. So origin story-wise, I've always loved sports and team sports specifically because I love like the collaboration. And I always felt like sports helped me feel a sense of belonging. So I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, mainly. And there wasn't many Asians in my school. So there was like some racism. And I think for me, I just desperately wanted to fit in and I wanted to feel a sense of belonging. And the first time I was able to do that was like playing sports. So I think that's one of the reasons why sports and was so appealing to me growing up. And I would say with football specifically, I started playing, oh gosh, it's been a long time. How old am I?
25.
Like over 13 years ago, like very casually on the beach and sand. And I, at the time, was one of the very, like, there weren't many female quarterbacks. And I remember going up for beach flag football and I was throwing, and one of the guys, partway through, I knew he was a quarterback as well. Halfway through the game, and it was just a pickup game. It was like supposed to be chill and fun. He like grabbed the football from me and he was like, I'm throwing now. And I was like, whoa. Like if he had just asked nicely or been like, hey, can I get some reps in? I would have been like, absolutely. And then I was like, you know what? I feel like I have to stand up for myself. And in some ways, I feel like I have to stand up for women right now. And so I took the football back and I was like, you can leave. And then he got quiet and played receiver. and I think I've just, I feel like I've put a lot of pressure on myself over the years. And I'm sure a lot of female quarterbacks have to perform because I feel like if I am not doing well, then maybe others might think, oh, well, like women just can't play this position or girls can't throw. And so that has given me a chip on my shoulders that I think has helped me really want to improve as a quarterback, learn, be a student of the game. I think there's some – how's that for an origin story?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, cover your international championships, but we'll get to that in just a minute.
And, the other thing you left out, Jonah, isn't there a league in your area that has a rule called the Jonah Rule?
Oh, wow. How did you hear about this? I'm impressed. And I did not name this rule. I think locally there were some, because there were, it wasn't very common to see a female quarterback. I was very much wanted to encourage more girls and women to throw, because I think the more female quarterbacks there are, the more we can see the female side of our sport grow. Because I think that's been a bottleneck for a long time. I noticed that there are some rules that were really working against female quarterbacks. And I think especially in a co-ed sport, you should never have a rule that hurts a female to play that position. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. It was actually rule-wise, it was less advantageous for a female, the quarterback, than a male. And so I really fought and rallied to adjust some of the rules. And I was really grateful that some of the league organizers were open to adjusting the rules, so they would be more accommodating of like all types of female players, not just receivers and defenders.
Yeah, for sure. I have officiated in that league. And so there's a few things that I think could maybe be adjusted, just like you're saying, that essentially the third play you could just throw the ball at a female's feet and that, you know, that does it, and there's no extra points for a female.
Correct. So, there was no and I've still been sometimes off and on fighting the fight that in co-ed leagues I firmly believe that smaller than men's size official ball should be allowed, and it's really unfortunate that some leagues are very against that, and I think that really discourages more women from throwing, because like I have like tiny baby hands and women have smaller hands than men, and you know
don't rub it in.
I think that I mean I like my baby hands, but having to like I was for like a full-size football for years playing co-ed. And I think that was that's a big deterrent for a lot of women. And so that part still hasn't changed. Maybe in the future.
Yeah. Baby steps, baby hands, baby steps.
Jacob, can you share your initial experiences with Jonah when you first met her?
So it's very ironic. We have both Jordan and Jonah on. The first time I ever met Jonah was in Charlotte.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember this?
Yeah. So
Jonah's in a playoff game. It's overtime, and we're going extra points. Jordan, I don't know if you remember this or not. Jordan's counting it down. I'm actually standing there, and I could hear him. Jonah was in the huddle talking, kept talking. She goes to line up, and all of a sudden Jordan goes, toot, toot, ball game. And everybody's like, what just happened? He throws a penalty flag. He threw a delay of game at the end of the game, and that was a loss, carried a loss of down and took the game away. But when time ran out, it ran out. So I remember immediately she came up to me, wanted to talk about it, was not rude, was not loud and aggressive, was very blunt with what she wanted to know, wanted information, and that was that. We had a good conversation.
I remember that. It was like it was in contact, and the other team, they did something very strategic. And I think within the rules, they all started yelling or like shouting so that we couldn't hear the refs. And I think from what my memory, it's been a while, I believe our coach attempted to call a timeout, but we were told we didn't get a timeout in overtime, and we did. And so I think there was I have a lot of respect for what refs do, and I could never be a ref myself. So I would be awful at it. And kudos to the refs out there, like Ant and Jordan and Jacob, you managing the refs. It's a hard, hard job. I have a lot of empathy for people that ref.
That's not accurate either. Just so we're clear, you would be a phenomenal ref. The fact that you don't mind running up to somebody, getting in their face and telling them that they're wrong is fantastic. I've received the being the wrong on the other side of that. And trust me, you can do it.
Thanks for the vote of confidence, Jordan.
Yes, ma'am. Of course.
Jordan, any insight you want to share about that situation in Charlotte, or you feel like the picture was painted pretty well?
No, it was. That is 100% what happened. I started yelling the time, and the defense was calling an audible. They were just yelling the entire time where no one could hear me, because I kept looking at Jacob, be like, bro, I know you hear me counting. So I'm literally looking at him, looking at the huddle, yelling out loud, Jacob huddle, Jacob huddle. And I'm like, this is not going to be good. Because I'm looking at him, I'm like, hey, man, you know what's about to come, and I'm so sorry. And it happened. I threw the flag landed on the ground. I yelled, ball game. Jacob's head just drops. He's like, well, shit. But like I said, those are probably some of the worst outcomes, I think, in a flag football game ever, when it is strategy versus strategy, not athleticism versus athleticism. If I can, I would much rather be beat by someone who's better than me than someone who was trying to outthink me. Because that's just going to piss me off. That's going to make me upset and feel stupid. At that point, I want to cuss everybody out.
Yeah, I think anything, I feel like anything within the rules, I'm cool with. If it's allowed, yeah, then it's fine.
It upsets me, but I agree. Yes, ma'am.
The rules are there for a reason, right? We need those boundaries and we need those rules. So,
absolutely. Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to share my first experience going with you. And I don't know if you remember this, but we actually played against each other. And it was in CSU. It was like 2021 about. And you were actually playing with mixed breeds. But you were playing in the men's division.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. In Colorado, I think.
Yeah, yep. That's right.
Yeah, at Colorado. Okay. Got it.
So we just happened to play against you guys, and it was a lot of fun. I was a rusher, and so it was fun being able to play against you, and that's actually the first time that I met Jack, and you know, from there, you know, I transitioned once I, you know, had a couple injuries, I transitioned into officiating nationally, and, you know, I've had plenty of experiences with you, with mixed breeds, with She Unit. That's kind of what brought us on talking about getting you on this show, is because last week we talked about this big rivalry in Southern California with mixed breeds and She Unit. Now, Jacob tends to think that there's, you know, every, you guys are all friends, everything's nice, everything's going good, but I want to hear about the DMs. I want to hear about the transfer portal, because I see players start at mixed breeds and they end up with She Unit. So, Jonah, are you signing NIL deals? Like, what are you doing here?
For the record, real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt. You realize there's recordings of me saying otherwise, right? Anyways, continue.
Yeah, that's, you know, we've had players kind of move teams in all directions, you know, from us to another SoCal team, another SoCal team to us. I have always been a proponent of like communication. So what I mean by that is I think anyone should play anywhere they want, so long as they communicate. So ideally, screw a team over by, you know, deciding to switch teams the day before. That's kind of a dick move. It puts that team in a bad place. But if you give, you know, a team, even if someone said yes to me and they give me plenty of time, they're like, hey, actually, I was thinking about playing with mixed breeds, or it could be another team, and here's why. I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Like, thank you for giving me a heads up. We can fill your, you know, I'll look to fill your spot. Thank you for letting me know. So I'm a big fan of people should play where they want to play. And mixed breeds is a great organization. They last weekend, they beat us in contact in the championship, and they won the contact championship. They're an amazing team. I know anytime we line up across from them, it's going to be really good competition, no matter who they have. Jack is an amazing recruiter. She's a great leader. I've played with her several times too, and she's a very impressive player. Smart, so selfless, and just like she is, she's a role model. Against her. So yeah, we've definitely had players that played with us sometimes, played with mixed breeds. So that does happen, absolutely. I hope there's no hard feelings, Jack. There aren't any.
No, no, no.
He's this direction.
For this, so yeah, you know.
No, and you know, I'm mostly joking, but in the same aspect of it, with men's feelings are constantly hurt. friendships are ruined. You can't, like, there's just, it's so bad when one guy turns to another team. I remember in Colorado when we were playing, I had a guy that had played with me. We had traveled together. He played with me. And then back locally, I wanted him to continue to play on our team. And he straight up said to me, he said, well, the quarterback has told me that if I want to continue to be his friend, that I have to stay on his team.
Look, in the way of me and friendships, unfortunately it has. And so, and it's really painful and it sucks. And I wish there was a better way of like separating the two, but it's hard, you know, like we're human and things happen on the field and they sometimes like linger in life and vice versa. I think that's where like just as early communication as possible, you know, I really appreciate when players are like, hey, so I was thinking about maybe playing. Actually, this happened today. Funny enough that you mentioned mixed breeds.
Spill the tea.
One of my newer teammates, who we love and adore. I won't call her out her name right now, but we've been texting and she was like, hey, you know, I was interested in like maybe playing with mixed breeds sometimes. How would you feel about that? And I mentioned, I was like, well, she's interested in like being part of our core. So I just explained, I was like, hey, as a core teammate, what we do is we prioritize asking our core, inviting them to tournaments and leagues first. And then what we ask is that if we play in a women's division, that you prioritize playing with us if we're also playing. So that's really, that's all, you know, it's just like a two-way street is what we ask for. But yeah. Like anytime we're not playing or we're not playing in that style, totally, you can play with any other team, but that's something that we ask of our like core teammates. And I think that's where like setting the right expectations is really important. Like, what are the expectations? You know, like if you're on like on this team, what does that mean? Can you like, is it cool to play with other teams? A lot of times, I feel like there's a lot of assumptions made, and as cheesy and corny as it is, it's like assume and make an ass out of you and me, right? And I think that's true. So I think the more you're very clear on like what the boundaries are and like what the expectations are, like feel about like, hey, in tight game situations, you know, we'll play the five that are working the best on offense and defense because we're trying to win that game. And so we can't guarantee a certain amount of playing time for anyone. And if this is a problem or a concern for you, I'm happy to like refund your player fees. So like I try to like be very clear and transparent about things from jump. Because there's just been too many like misunderstandings in the past when some of these things haven't been communicated. So I've learned the hard way too many times.
I swear the women's division, because I feel like Jonah, you're not the only one who does this. I feel like you're one of, I mean, obviously we're talking to you right now, but I feel like a lot of teams are just as organized as this, maybe some more than others, but in the men's division, it's like 75% of them are like, hey, you want to play tomorrow? All right, cool. George, you going to play tomorrow? No. All right, let's go get Steve. You know,
maybe. That's right.
You know, it's so much more organized, and this is, I appreciate that more than people know.
Yeah, well, and I know you don't want to say the player's name, but I did notice that there was a very good player that was with mixed breeds, and her significant other is on mixed breeds. And in the Bay this past weekend, she played with She Unit. And I don't know if that's who you're talking about.
Wait, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Baller.
Oh, I didn't know Baller's partner played with mixed breeds. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
How are you across the country and know all the relationship drama? Good.
That's my boy. That's my boy.
Oh, I actually didn't even – I didn't know that, actually. That is news to me. But no, we love playing with Baller. She's great. Plus, Mixed Breeds has been taking some seasons off in, like, our local league. And so – I invited some of their players to play with us because Mixed Breeds wasn't in. And I love when Jack brings a team. I always know it's going to be like additional competition. And I will say All of y'all, when I first helped start She Unit many, many years ago, the East Coast and the South, they were like, oh, West Coast is soft. West Coast can't play. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to make She Unit was to create a strong West Coast team. And nowadays, I feel like the West Coast has gotten so much stronger in flag football. We have amazing teams like Mixed Breeds, Top Shelf, Playas.
Only in the women's division, just so we're clear.
I feel like that's the name. Ronin, right? I mean, that's a strong name, yeah. Is it not?
Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself. It's okay. Oh. It's okay.
You know what? I would really pay attention to the men's division.
I don't blame you because they suck. We get it. Yeah.
I did not say anything. Hey,
nah, trust me, I did. I had no problem with that. That's okay. You guys suck. It's fine. It's respectfully and out of love, okay? It's not y'all's fault that the West Coast is soft. It's just the East Coast is more badass. We did not ask for this to happen. It's just here we are, okay? So, yeah. Sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Calicut has now joined the chat.
You know, so.
I love how you really feel, Jordan.
Oh, that's the problem. This right here is me being nice. This is the sugarcoat version, okay?
You know, you were so it's, much nicer when you ref. It's so funny.
Amen. Please tell people this. Please tell people this, because technically the only time that I'm actually an asshole as a ref is when it's men. And it's always in the rec division because I'm like, bro, listen, you're carrying the torch at the Special Olympics. Okay. You're not even in a good enough division for you to raise your voice at me. Calm down, little boy. Okay. Like my fat ass has multiple state championships and I played receiver. Look at me. Okay. If I'm playing receiver and we're winning, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just give it up. Hang cleats up. It's okay, man. I understand.
That's interesting. So, like, you feel like the rec division players are more rowdy than pro players?
Oh. Well, now, in my experience as a ref, I believe so. I get the certain players. So, as a whole, I think the rec division is more – they bitch and complain more. Now, when it comes to pro, I don't have a team that I hate. I have certain players. And that's kind of the difference. When you get to the pro division, you're like, okay, I like your team, but that one guy's a dick. When it comes to the rec division, there's a team from out of Miami. So technically there's two teams out of Miami. So the last time we were in Orlando, these two teams, they get together in the championship.
Are we not going to say the name of these teams?
Honestly, I don't know them. You're in the rec division. You don't matter, okay?
They're known factors, I think.
Yeah, they are. I'm like, bro, I hope this is the fastest. Right. Dude, I want this to be the fastest 25 minutes ever because both of y'all suck. And that's the problem because they want every touchdown. They're like, how is that not flag guard? I'm like, no way, shape, or form. Yeah, but no, those are the worst. Those are the worst ones. When those two Florida teams got together in the championship, and they're literally just cussing each other out. And at that point, Unc walks over to me, and Unc was like, "Do you want me to stop this? Because it's Florida teams." I'm like, "Heck no, bro! I want to brawl to break out. If this thing breaks out right here, we're all gonna hug it out. We're all gonna hug it out in 5 minutes because this team was literally cussing each other out, and then." 5 minutes later, they're hugging each other. I'm like, do you guys know each other? They're like, we play in the same league. Why are y'all here? If y'all got to the championship together, shake hands. Let's go home as like dual champions. I mean, anything. Let's forfeit together.
Here's the problem with the rec division. And I think this is what the bag stigma is. Rec players tend to have a pro mentality and a pro expectation with the lack of play to match that mentality. So when stuff happens,
yeah,
like, what, you know, this right here happened, and it's like, yeah, but that's not what happened. So I think that's the issue.
I think maybe like I experience this because with a lot of times, unfortunately, with the women's, we don't have multiple levels, right? So everyone, including like some people that are very new to this style, and it's not so much their talent, but their knowledge of like, you know, fives and the rules, but they'll get very upset with refs, but and they're argue these rules. And then I know there's a reputation like, oh, well, Jonah talks to the ref and then they change their call. I'm like, no, Jonah knows the rules. So when Jonah shares the rules and challenges the rules, I will officially challenge. And then we look up the rules. And then sometimes I'm usually a pretty quiet player. I don't really shit talk. I just want to scream like, learn the rules. Just learn the rules. But I'm sure refs never have that thought, right? You never think to yourself, just read the rules. But I just wish more people would actually read the rules before yelling.
Jonah, I gotta share a really funny story that happened at a coin toss. And it was, you guys were playing San Diego Blitz. You guys did end up winning the championship. It was like the Showdown Series, I think, is the tournament it was.
Yes.
So anyway, you and Vitor came to the coin toss. Again, these two teams, two captains that have seen a lot of each other. So it was just really funny because
Blitz is a great team. Blitz is a fantastic team too.
Absolutely. So you had a question about a rule prior to the game starting, but you posed the question in a really funny way because you were basically like, "Hey, can we do this rule this way instead for the championship? Like, can we agree on this for this championship game?" And me and Vitor both looked at each other like, what?
Oh, I wonder what I asked for. I think because the Showdown Series, from what I remember, they had their rules were a little bit different than what we typically play with fives. So maybe I honestly don't remember what I was asking, but I think because I know Blitz is also prepping for like these big fives tournaments, maybe I was suggesting something that was like, hey, do we want to make this more similar to like the usual way we play fives, just for reps.
For sure. Yeah, it had something to do with the amount of pitches that were allowed. So.
Oh, okay. I could see
it. Yeah,
could.
But, you know, we both had a laugh about it, or all three of us had a laugh about it. We, you know, flipped the coin, and you ended up winning that championship. So it didn't matter.
I feel like anything, you can always ask for anything as long as you're willing to accept no as the answer.
Exactly.
the worst possible outcome you're going to hear is no.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, if the other captain doesn't want to and the refs don't want to, then it's fine. Moving on.
Yeah. So I think this is a good opportunity for Jordan to be able to share a story. It's one that is with a player that's now retired. He officially retired. He went to an international tournament and won a championship there. And he did it Peyton Manning style and rode off in the sunset. John Kager is not playing anymore. So, Jordan, I just want to give you the opportunity to share your best Kager experience.
I didn't know Kager stopped playing.
He did, yeah. And he made a he announced post, it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, so there is this just strapping gentleman lined up as quarterback for this team. You know, great guy. So so the defense scores a touchdown. And so they're down at this point, they're down, I believe it's like 8 points. So the game is in reach. They can win. So defense ends up like getting the ball. It was like a safety, or it had the points changed only because the clock was running. So we're in the last minute and the clock's running, and I'm yell clock's running. And at this point we're going down the field and I'm walking and Kaker throws a bomb. Receiver goes after it, touchdown. But in the process of everything, I'm walking down the sideline and I have my wristwatch on and I'm holding it up to his sideline where it's beeping and going off. The timer's out. They score the game. I was like, ball game. And he was like, no, it's not. We scored a touchdown. The time stops. I said, you're correct if there was time left. He's like, there's no way that play took a minute. And I'm like, bud, I've been holding my clock up the entire time to your team to look at it behind my back. They've been right here the entire time. And so then he gets in my face and he starts yelling. And then so it's me, him, and another ref. And he was like, I need your names. I can turn you in. And I'm like, okay, way to be a bitch. And then, so I was like, perfect. I said, my name is Jordan Calicut. I said, do I need to spell that for you? He said, please. I said, fantastic. I said, it's B-I-G-D-I-C-K. And the other ref, he was like, I mean, come on, man. That was kind of funny. He said, what did you just say to me? I was like, you heard me. And I walked off. Yeah, bro. Like,
go ahead.
I ref.
Keep going with the story. What happened after that? It's good.
So I just walk down. Okay. So I just walk down. I'm going to the tent. The game is over. And so I'm trying to find Jacob so he can give me my next assignment to go to what field and everything else. And then about this time, Kaker walks over to the tent, to like the front side of the tent. I'm in like in the back room, and he's like, some guy just told me this and nobody knows who it is. Everybody's like, what's the ref's name? He's like, I don't know. I told him my first and last name. And then I spelled it for him, and all of a sudden he lost all sight of everything. And then he's like, there was a big guy over there with a beard. And Jacob's like, bro, I got like four or five big guys with beards. I'm going to need you to. And then he was like, well, here's what happened. And Jacob was like, oh, my God. He was like, you know what? I lied. I know who did it. He didn't tell him this. So he just calls me. He's like, hey, bud. I'm like, hey. He's like, what you doing? Nothing. Where's my next? He's like, where are you at? So he comes over there. And then so we have a small talk. But the best part was is this man goes on Facebook. And he just starts airing it out. He's like, this is what happened. He was giving his side of the story, not the actual story. So, you know, I don't mind being the villain in any story. I am 100% okay. As long as you guys are talking about me, I appreciate you. Okay? Good or bad, I'm in. So I start getting sent screenshots. They're like, the only person we know that's ballsy enough to say dumb shit is you. And I'm like, I respond to the group chat, to the ref chat, and I was like, and don't y'all forget it. But the crazy thing was, so this right here is in Orlando. So then we end up going to California a year later. So a year later, we're in there. So at that point, he's the coach for what is the team out there that he used to? They had the Showtime. Yeah, Showtime. Yeah. So he's the coach of Showtime, and so we're out there, and so he goes to come to the coin toss, and he sees me, so he sends what's that chick's name? The quarterback with the red hair. So he ends up sending her out there to the coin toss, and I have no idea. I don't learn players' names other than the ones I like
on Showtime. Yeah.
Okay. So then, so she comes out there and he's on my sideline the entire time. And he's like, excuse me, sir. And he's just being super nice to me. And I'm like, bro, this is super weird. We don't like each other. Let's just air it out. But he was super professional the entire time. And those are the only two games I've ever reffed Jonathan Kaker.
All right. Which the second one was really smooth.
I thought so.
Jordan
yeah.
Out the best part of this whole story. And I don't know why he's leaving this out, but I'll be glad to finish it. So when this happens, Jordan's walking down the field. I find him. He tells me what happens. At this point, we kick Kaker out because he would not leave the field. So we kick him out.
Yeah.
And then he goes on Facebook, does his whole tirade. Well, afterwards, I get with Pat Alley and Coop, I think. And we're like, all right, we got to mess with Jordan now.
Oh, my God, you motherfuckers. okay.
This happens on Saturday night, so we're like, we got to mess with him tomorrow morning in the morning meeting. So we said, all right, we're going to tell him that Travis is going to talk to him and probably fire him. So so he walks in Sunday morning, and he's like, hey, man, like, you know, again, I apologize. I hope nothing really came. He's apologizing to me. On a friend level, not like worried about what he did in the grand capacity, but like, hey man, I'm sorry if I caused you any problems, you know,
right.
I apologize, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey man, I said, it's cool. But you know, I think we're going to have to, Travis wants to have a talk with you. you know, he's going to kind of want to know, like, you know, what happened from your side. He's got some stuff going on. He's like, all right. So at this point, I get Pat, I get Chun, I get Coop, I get a bunch of the other directors to go up to Jordan and just be like, hey, man, like, you know, thanks for being here. Like, try to be, like, real nice and real calming. And they start making everybody feel real on edge, like, you know, like Jordan, like, he starts picking up on it a little bit. So he comes up to me before his first game and goes, Jacob, if you're going to fire me, do not let me start this game. He said, do not let me walk out on this field and start. He said, because if I start, he said, I'm going to burn this place down if I do get fired. I'm like, I said, no, you're good. So I let him go, and he wrote probably three games. Well, at this point, once we got everything going for the day, me and Pat went and found Travis and said, hey, we need you to do this. We need you to pretend like you're going to fire him. And then just, you know, then you can tell him it's a joke. So Jordan walked to the break room for a second to grab something, was coming back out. I said, hey, man, come here real quick. We're going to go talk to Travis. Travis pulls up. And he's just like, hey, man, you know, heard about what happened last night. Really can't have this. You know, unfortunately, I'm sorry. And then he just starts busting out laughing. Jordan at this point is like, oh, fuck you guys. Runs off. But we were this close to having Jordan thinking he was getting fired. That was the best part of the whole thing.
I was not joking. If my fat ass ran once, if I had to run once, I was gonna piss everybody off. You fire me right now, okay? You, yeah, heck no. I don't mind being fired, but it better happen right now.
Oh man, that was the best.
All right.
So Jordan.
Well, that we wanted to share that with you, Jonah. That's true. I know you gotta head out soon, but I want to do a rapid fire questions real quick for you. Kind of keep you on your toes, put you on the hot seat a little bit.
Hey, hold on 1 second. Hey, one thing that I wanted to say, and I was actually super happy that Jonah was on this this show. Other than today, she has never called me by my actual name. She calls me George every single time I'm her rep. And the best part is, and the best part is that when she runs up to me after I make a call, she's like, George, 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 listen. And I want to look at her and be like, you know what? You can have any call you want. You just keep calling me George. That way, when I do mess up, make sure you tell Jacob this was George's problem, okay?
You know, are we sure it was me, George? Because
I swear, the first time I ever met you, I was on the I had walked up to the field as a third ref, and I'm in the back of the end zone, but my hat's off, and I'm just standing there, and you got an attitude with me, and you were like, if there's gonna be a ref there, he better be able to make a phone call, and I'm like, me? You were like, yeah, if you're back there, you better make a call. I'm like, first of all, who is this short woman thinking that she can just talk to me any kind of way she wants to? But then she goes out there and she just, and you slung that ball hard and y'all end up winning the game. I was like, sorry, ma'am, you can speak to me any way you want to. I am so sorry. I disrespected you. If you're going to be a gunslinger like that, I apologize. You can have all the attitude you want to have. And then that's when I realized who you were and that you were actually good. And I was like, okay, I lied. You can be that mean and that pushy as long as you're that talented. So I was like,
I try not to be mean. I apologize if I was mean. I really.
Oh, this was years old. Don't apologize. Yeah, that's your weakness. Don't do that.
People have to stick together, Jordan.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I promise. Hey, well, but look, but ever since then, this right here was also. So when was the first year of Vegas, the year that Joe Bout died? What year is this? 2021. So this right here is, we met for the first time ever in like 2020 Worlds.
Okay,
so it was technically January of 2021, but it was 2020 Worlds, and then that was the year that we really ramped up the travel and everything else. And so the first experience compared to the last 10 are drastically different. That first one, yeah, Oh no, 100%, 100%. That first one, you were spitting fire. Now you're like,
I
look,
what I was pissed off about, huh?
I'm just gonna go. Well, like I said, well, I think only because the refs you had at the time were not doing a well enough job, so you wanted extra eyes to make better calls. That's what it felt like. That's what it felt like to me. Yeah, well, hey, but if I'm losing because of the refs, I want any help I can get. Which, like I said, that's why I didn't. I agree with it. It was a great job. Absolutely. Hey, Ant, fire away.
All right, good.
Jordan's such a good storyteller. I apologize. I don't remember.
Hey, no, don't apologize. You got it.
Sorry.
Hey, look, your logo on the back of your jersey should be you just bicep out. So, yeah, no number, no name. It's just a silhouette of your body on this right here. Okay, let them know. Let them know.
I'll do that for the next uniform.
Yes, perfect.
Maybe a tattoo, an arm on an arm, like right here. I think on my.
Hey,
throat.
You get that tattoo. I'll get the matching on the back of my calf. I'll show everybody why I'm running on the field. Yes, ma'am.
It's all good.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, cool, Joan. You ready?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, here we go. We're starting off with your biggest rival.
I've been top shelf locally. We keep like going at it, but love that team. But we just keep, we always have to face each other all the time.
Who's the best rusher you faced?
That I faced. Oh, so many answers. I mean, Crystal is up there. Maybe Crystal. Crystal Winter.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. What about the best defense overall that you've gone against?
Oh, my gosh. I would say Vanita's team tends to have a very strong – you know, they go by a lot of different names, a lot of faces, sometimes Wakanda, sometimes all sorts of names. Yeah, their defense tends to be very solid. Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite format to play?
Air it out or non-con?
Okay. What's the rule that drives you crazy?
That drives you crazy. Maybe the amount of time. No, that's fine. There was one league where like the other team, their offense would get set so quickly, and we had players go both ways. Maybe that one.
You messaged me about that one. I remember that.
Yeah. I'm confused because literally our players, we had just gotten off of offense. We just scored. And then the other team was setting up on offense. But like literally our defense was like running and to the other side of the field, the ones that were two-way players. And they still couldn't make it back in time. And so I was like, it'd be nice if there's a more standardized, like whether it's 10 seconds or something between when there's that change of possession. Because I don't think, I guess, Jacob, there's not like an official rule for that. Is that right?
So there's not an official rule, but what it is play can't start until the referees are set. So at least for USA flag. So you're never going to have where if there's a, like, let's just say like we're going third to mid and we have a touchback or we have a turnover or a down. So we have a touchback on the other side. There's not going to be like the bang, bang immediate because the officials aren't going to be set. So there is
I would agree if they're in the right place. If there's for some reason already down there,
if they're already down there, we have bigger problems.
Yes, we do.
Agreed. It's not a big deal. It's not that rule's not a big deal, but I did have like some concerns about it with how it was being used locally.
For sure. What's the best location that you've played flag football?
I would say Brazil. Like the love for the sport there, but Brazil or Colombia. I feel in other countries, there's just the ambiance and the environment and the love for flag football. It's different. Like in the US, you don't really see a lot of people watching. You don't really see, there's not a ton of sideline energy. And in other countries, it's like, there's like this big stadium and people are cheering and it feels like it's a very different energy. And it's like very exciting and alive, even more so than in the US sometimes. Yes, Jordan?
Pick me. Pick me. That's because Americans are selfish jackasses. Okay, back to you.
On Americans here.
Yeah.
Hey, as an American, I can say it. So.
Okay. Final question: if you could steal one player from another team without anyone being upset, no ramifications, who would you take?
Great question.
Oh, there's so many that come to mind. I would love to have Bree back, Brianna Hernandez. She played with us. She got her start with like National Traveling Flag on She Unit. She's played with Game Changers since. Very dynamic player, such an amazing teammate. Lots of potential. And yeah, would love to get to play with her again. So Vegas, come back. Baby, come back.
Jonah has officially embraced the show.
About time.
Cool. Well, Jonah, it's been such a pleasure to have you on. I just want to say that as an official, you are a player that makes officials better. Because I try to read the book as much as possible, but when I know that you are playing in a tournament, I am reading every line word for word to make sure I do not make any mistakes. So you make me better as an official, and you are part of the 0.01% of players that actually read the rule book. So I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I have one selfish question on behalf, if that's okay. And y'all have to be willing to be honest. Okay.
Oh, hit me.
Yeah. especially we have a few of our teammates, like for instance, Labrenthia B and a few others who they strongly feel that in general refs don't like us. And she's like, Jonah, what did we do? And I'm like, probably something I did. I don't know. But no one ever tells, like, I've tried asking. Everyone's like, no, not at all. And I don't quite think that's true. Sometimes. Does anyone
Jordan
know?
I got this.
Right. Oh, yes, sir.
Because I think it's misplaced. I don't think it's that they don't like you. So
the team. I mean, I'm talking about She Unit. Yeah.
Right. So let's take for instance I'm just gonna lay some facts out there. The general demographic I have for officials is what? Males, right? You know, I have some females who officiate, and you know I'm trying to get those numbers up, but generally it's males, right? How many guys take it in stride when a female tries to tell them to do something or tries to question what they're doing? Not you, Jordan. I said I got this.
I was just saying my hand was up. Ant does the same thing. So I'm just saying.
but to my point, the average guy does not take well when a woman challenges him, because generally you're right, you know, and I appreciate that. I appreciate, like Ant said, when people read the rules, I appreciate it. Doesn't matter if it's a guy or a woman, and it's a bad stereotype, I think, and we're trying to get past that, if that makes sense. I don't think it's that they don't like you. I think it's the fact that they feel inferior is not the right word, but maybe
I feel less than
when they're being challenged and told, you know, that they're not,
but they're being like belittled.
Yeah. Belittled. Their ego's taking a shot. You know, that's kind of where I'm thinking. I don't think it's that they don't like.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, because I find that I really appreciate when refs are humble enough, and I really try to give them credit for it when I'm like, hey, absolutely. I really appreciate you checking the rules, like that. Mm-hmm. That says a lot. And Yeah. And it seems like most refs are willing to do that. And I appreciate that. So, okay. All right.
I think, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
I would rather actually ref the women's division over the men's personally, only because I think that the level of competitiveness and camaraderie are stronger in the women's division than it is in the men's. I have watched, there's a blocker for mixed breeds. Very, very sweet lady. She is on the sideline, always smiling. I watched her level some girl. And
are you talking about Jamie?
Now that I don't know.
He don't even realize who he's talking about.
No. It's not Jack. It's not Jack. But no, she's a blocker for there, and she leveled this girl, and she helped her up, and she was like, "Hey, are you okay?" I've never seen that once happen in a men's. I've seen a guy jump on top of a guy who was on the ground, and he pushed him harder into the dirt. So then just after the game, the way that the women line up so much faster just to shake hands and say congratulations, good game, is just so much better. And the men are like, oh, well, I'm the best player on this team, so let's complain about it every time. And those are usually – I think that's one of the things that's going to end up killing – men's flag football is these prima donnas. If I could only ref women's division, I would 100%. You guys could cuss me out every single game, and I am 100% okay with that. Hey, you rather than all you want to, big guy.
I see your example all the time of like, yeah, someone like dishing out a great pancake, you know, and then helping them up. Happens. I see that all the time in women's, and
you're right.
I would love to see that more on the men's side too.
Like I said, I've been repping contact now for, 12 years. And to see the sport grow the way that it has in the women's division in such a short time compared to the last 12 years of men's football, I've watched it go downhill. No one's in it for the sport. They're only in it for themselves. And they don't understand that their selfish mentality is going to make it where it's harder and harder for them to play the sport they love if they truly love it. Mm. You know, I know that for us four in particular, flag football has been a life-changing event. If you'd have told me years ago I was going to travel the country to referee flag football, I'd look like you were crazy. Now I brag about it constantly, and people think I'm crazy, and I'm like, I'm cool with that. but it's so much fun. You found a nationwide following of people that view this sport just like you do, and at the end of the day, that's my biggest goal, is for this sport to grow. If it could ever turn into the NFL, that would be fantastic. So if it was ever going there, and I do think that the women's division is going to go places faster and further than men's ever has. And I mean that in the most respectful way to women and the most disrespectful way to men.
Yeah.
So, ladies, great job. Guys, y'all suck. So,
in my opinion, I think women are better at playing flag football than men are.
Oh, yeah. Wholeheartedly.
You know, they understand a playbook better. They understand the finesse of the game. I think men are still hung up on they used to play tackle football, and they want to bring that mentality and that IQ into flag football, where most women just go right into flag football out the gate. And that's their first experience with football. And so they just learn flag football. So to me, I think, Jordan, what you're saying, I think that's the reason why we're seeing exponential growth of women's flag football and men's flag football, especially the areas of the country that are stuck in eighth contact or, you know, other formats like that. They're going down like this, and we're just waiting for a specific generation to just stop playing. Because once they stop playing, a lot of those leagues will go away. A lot of those men's leagues will go away, and we'll see some of those formats go away. So I think with women's flag football, they're just like, yeah, five non-contact. This is what's going to be in the Olympics. We're all going to end up in the Olympics. Like, let's go. Let's push this push this game forward, you know? So, Jonah, I want to give you the opportunity to share some final thoughts, anything you want to share with us. If you have any crazy questions, you let us off the hook by that question, by the way. That was too easy. So if you have anything else you want to ask, feel free to, but share some final thoughts as well.
Shout out to all the refs out there. I know it's not personal when like players are upset. There's a lot of other stuff going on. I would say, keep doing what you're doing. I love what y'all are doing with this podcast. It's fantastic. She Unit, as always, is looking for sponsors. And so we have a pretty engaged social media following. We'd love to partner with some awesome organizations. So if anyone knows of a company or an individual where that would be a fit, would love to have a conversation with them. So, yeah. shout out to the women's teams out there that are really helping the game grow. I love that, like, I love actually seeing this big transition, whereas before I feel like it was like the same one or two teams always winning in tournaments. And now, Utah Sting, who I hadn't heard of until like a few months ago, you know, they won the Air It Out division of the Bay Area tournament a couple weekends ago. And so it's so exciting that these like teams from all over, including like Canada and other countries and across the US, it's really exciting that you never really know which team is going to win, at least on the women's side. So I think that speaks to the growth of the game. So I really appreciate that. I think more and more of the refs are also taking the women's game more seriously than maybe they did in the past. And so I really appreciate that. And that really helps us all get on the same page. So really excited for the growth of the sport on the women's side, as well as the men's side. And I know we talk some shit about guys. I will say I feel very grateful that anytime we do She Unit Co-Ed, the guys that we play with, they are like so classy and so like wonderful and respectful. And like they listen to, like, if one of our ladies is on defense and she's like, hey, what if we try this? They listen. I'm like, wow, I wish more men were like this. So there are plenty of good ones out there. It's unfortunate that sometimes some of the bad eggs create a bad reputation for the whole group. Plenty of good ones too.
For sure. The other advantage, the thing that officials, if there are officials that, you know, maybe have something against She Unit, they should appreciate you in co-ed because every play is open. It makes co-ed so much easier to appreciate.
That's true. That's a good point. Like, we make their jobs easier when we're on offense. They don't have to come back and play open and close plays. The number of times I will say in co-ed that, like, jokingly, where they're like, well, what about a female play? The number of times to like a team, the opponents, and go, I'm female. it comes up, but it's fun. And I take it, I guess, as a compliment.
Lace up. So the first time that I ever played, because the quarterback, she has short hair.
Yes, Lacey. So, very, very fantastic athlete and quarterback.
So, well, the first time that I ever reffed her, it was in COVID, and she had on a backwards hat. She had like this big jersey. And and I was just so, you know, so we get down to it, and I yell, and I'm like, okay. I was like, you know, open one, open two, closed. But the weird thing was no one stopped me till like midfield. I called open one, open two, closed. We get past midfield and everyone's like, hey, bro, the quarterback's a girl. I'm like, that quarterback right there. They're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, shit. Only because like I said, with the headgear on and I'm only seeing like this part of your face.
Yeah.
You know, I can't see unless you have a mustache. I don't know. Which, even then, honestly, no judgment. So, so that was the big things. I had no idea. And then finally, she was like, "Hey, I'm a girl." I was like, Oh, I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, I had no idea. She was like, no, I'm cool with that. I was like, oh, thank God. Oh.
Oh, Lacey is super chill. You know, next time, like I said, I'll make it easier. I'll make it easier for y'all refs. I'll like stuff my bra. I'll stuff my sports bra. So all you'll see is just like this giant like chest, and then like my boobs will get in the way of me throwing, and then you'll be like, oh, yes, female.
Yeah. That's honestly
obvious. Okay.
That sounds fantastic. I don't want to play that game. I want to watch it. Because I'm going to see everything start flying up and down and just going every way that you can. You know what I'm saying? She's trying to run and throw. Oh, yeah. It's perfect. All right,
so the tissue paper will start flying out throughout my
Yes. Hey, we support you. I got it. Actually, you know what? I lied. Let me ref that game. That way, in case something does happen, I can be like, bro, I didn't see it. Yeah. I didn't see a thing.
Well, Jonah, I'm sure Jordan could share stories with you all night. We do want to let you go. We appreciate you coming on, and you are welcome anytime. Just let us know when you want to come back on.
Sounds good. This was really fun. Thank you all. Have a great
night. Absolutely. Have a good night.
Yeah, Thank you.
Jordan, man.
Oh.
That was fun. I'm worried you might have got us canceled about 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. Hey.
I'm replaying everything that he said. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, see, that's.
We're carrying torches. We're not sure
who's who. Hey, honestly. And again, this is the part that's really hard to make people understand. Dude, this is the. Honestly, if anyone knows, it's definitely you two. This is the nice version. This is me sugarcoating everything. It could be so much worse. And, you know, and out of respect for you two, I tried to calm it down. So
we missed you, buddy.
Yeah, you guys are fantastic.
It's been a while, man. And I think we've been doing the show injustice if we didn't talk a little bit about contact flag football with
that's right.
Jordan himself, right? So I just want to talk first and foremost, Jordan. I don't know if you've heard the recent development. What I found out about some history in the Carolinas area with contact flag football, but
okay.
you know the team Bex Plus One.
I think so. They sound vaguely familiar.
Okay, I don't know if you understand this, but the Plus One originally was Jacob.
Oh, okay. Okay, I did not know that.
That's news to you too, right?
Yeah, I've heard the story of the name, and that's not what I was told. But you know, honestly, now that you said out loud, that's not even surprising.
So I just, you know, he's constantly just talking about them and talking about how amazing they are and all this stuff. And let's be honest, Jordan, they can't even win locally in their own league. So why bother?
Shots fired. Shots fired. Oh shit! That was a good call. That was a good call. That's kind of the ironic thing about pretty much what we just talked about. Those boys right there. That team, I guess, as a whole has really they when you come in and you dominate the way that they did from day one, and you ride that and you pretty much just ride that high because they championship after championship after championship, and it's fantastic. But then eventually there's always going to be evolution, so you're going to evolve into something either better or maintain. And the one good thing about Bex Plus One, personally, that I view it, is that when they started winning Camel City got better. The teams took it. They put a chip on their shoulder. They're like, I don't care what happens. I want to beat Bex Plus One. And then, you know, with that mentality and them boys still being as athletic as they are, they really set the standard for the league. And then now, personally, I do think that is the best five contact league in the nation. I could confidently take, I guess, eight. Yeah, I think there's eight different teams that I think that if we could literally go anywhere in the country and have a chance. I'm not saying that we're going to walk through everywhere, but we're going to be a top contender, and you're going to know that we were there at the end of it. And I don't think there's a lot of leagues in the country that can say that we have eight dynamic teams that we could walk in and potentially walk out champions.
Yeah. No, and I don't disagree with you. Honestly, I do feel like as far as, you know, Camel City goes and the DMV, outside of that, most regions, when they build a team, whether it's contact or non-contact, and they're going to a big tournament, it's kind of an all-star team from their big league.
Yeah,
you true. Know? I mean, you look at New Dynasty, they now have an A and a B team because outside of New Dynasty, I know there's other Arizona teams that travel, but outside of New Dynasty, nobody's making noise like they are.
Right.
Right.
You know, and it's the same, you know, California. I know Jonah brought up Ronin. Ronin is literally like the all-star version of Southern California. I mean, they have pulled every top-notch player on that team, and now they're finally having some national success. So, all joking aside, I definitely agree with you there. Camel City and the DMV are on a whole other level, for sure.
So, now here's the real question. Does Jacob get a national championship ring if Bex Plus One win?
He should.
That's my vote. You know, I think that he should. If I mean, the man's worked hard, okay? Give him his ring. That's
I mean, if the team is named after him, if he's the plus one in Bex Plus One,
yeah,
that's like, I mean,
man, that's not what we heard, you know. So,
oh my god, this show is just got shambles. Absolutely, Joe believes that you two, it's like the prisoners running the asylum. Good lord.
Bro, listen. I'm only the co-pilot here. Okay, Ant's the one flying the plane.
Yeah, I know. Not helping at all.
Sorry, sir.
Hey. So Jordan, you know, a few other questions I have for you. Not so much a rapid fire, but a few questions I have for you. I just want to throw your way because I know you'll answer them. So, who would you say is the GOAT of contact flag football?
Oh, bro, that's a fantastic question.
So let me ask this real quick before you say it.
Okay.
All right. So I personally am a believer in you have goats of generations. There's not just you can't say don't do that. Don't do that. Because you can't compare, you can't say that Steph Curry would be the GOAT over Michael Jordan. They didn't play in the same time, they didn't play in the same era, they didn't play with the same circumstances. So you can't say that those two, it's comparing apples to oranges.
Hold on, sir. I'm asking Jordan the question.
Yeah. Pipe down.
If he wants to say that there's only one GOAT, he can say it.
That's why I'm saying. That's why I was asking that question.
Oh, okay. Now,
yeah. Okay. I want to answer the question, but I'm gonna answer the question in kind of a Jacob form of an answer because I do think that. When I first started flag football as a player and moved to a ref comparative to where we are now in 2024, beforehand, one of my favorite players, and this is hard to say out loud, I'm going to try not to vomit, but I got to go with Matrix Johnson.
Why would you vomit? Matrix is a good dude.
Yeah, because he still plays for Camel City. I can't think of I can't let him know that I like him as a person, you know. So, yeah. Now transitioning. Matrix now the age where he is now. He definitely The fire's still there, but he definitely it does seem like it's more for fun. Barry's still competitive, but more for fun and camaraderie. Moving forward, I do think that the torch could be handed to somebody. Now, this one again, this is hard only because I've seen the backstage, I've seen the front, and I've seen the future, and I have a lot of respect for this guy. At the same time, I want to throat chop him at least three times in a conversation. But
where you're going with this.
Easily, T.J. Simmons.
Yeah,
so, you know, the man is very well-versed in flag football. You know, he's definitely transitioned from tackle to football, and he has made the transition in a good, healthy way. And what he's accomplished since the day he started with 8-man, moving to 5, now having multiple championships, multiple teams, you know, he wants to push the sport in the right direction. So –
And talking about TJ too, I mean, the thing about it is everybody jokes him, everybody dogs him about, you know, oh, it's a new team every time because he has players that come in and out constantly.
Yeah.
But he puts together winning rosters, so you can't fault him for what he's doing.
No, not at all. And, you know, a lot of times the comments that people make, I'm like, you sound like you're jealous or you're upset that you didn't think about it first. It's not really them like shit talking. It's like, dang, that's a good idea, and I'm mad I didn't think about it.
Yep.
Yeah. Jacob, are you comfortable with that answer?
Sure. I mean, that's his opinion. Of course I'm comfortable with that answer.
It's my opinion. Don't do that, okay? If it's wrong, tell me.
There's no such thing as a wrong opinion.
Well, so, Jordan, just to let you know. Right. just to let you know, Jacob did pick his former teammate, Chad Beck, is his GOAT of contact.
Hey, football. My man.
You know?
And see, and that's the hard thing is because that's a fantastic choice. You know, for you to be a 5'3" white dude and to be good at a sport, that's just impressive in itself. The fact that Chad Beck is just that much dominating. Hey, I'm just saying, I'm short. I'm short, and he does not even look me in the eyes when he talks to me. So at that point, you know, bro, sorry.
Just call
him. Okay, so keeping Bex in mind, we're going to play a little game, Jordan, real quick. Start, cut, bench, okay?
Okay.
So we're doing contact quarterbacks. We got Chad Bex, Mike Tatum, and Mike Deeb. From main event, so start, cut, bench.
No. Who was the middle one?
Mike Tatum.
Tatum.
STV quarterback. I don't know that I put him in this category, but okay.
Okay. So start, cut, bench. Chad Beck, STV, and who was the last one?
Mike D from main event.
Oh.
I know what I'm doing.
And 5-man contact.
Yeah, sure. We'll do that.
Okay. I want to start. Yeah, I got to start Chad, bench Mike, and then cut the last guy. I know I'm better with teams than I am names. I know the quarterbacks.
Okay. All right. Next one. This is DMV area, not necessarily contact. We're just going to say playmakers. Okay. So you could throw them in any format you want, and I want to start covering. Okay. So Tone, you know who Tone is, right?
Yep.
Dion.
Okay.
And then Devin Brown from Supreme Elite, Virginia Elite.
Ooh. Oh, my God. Bro, great question. I want to start Paige, bench Devin, cut Tone.
Okay. Gotcha. Jacob doesn't agree with any of your opinions so far. My final question. Let me just ask this real quick before I ask this one. How many Bex brothers are there?
There's four.
Four.
So
okay.
So
yeah. I thought Seth, so.
Wes, Chad.
Yeah.
Okay. So take Chad out of it, and I want okay. you to start cut bench the other three bets.
Which Jacob? Which one is the tall one?
Travis.
He's cut. The yeah right no no, no. What's the short the shorter is brother is yeah no, no 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 I'm saying which one is the receiver?
They both are.
No no like the actual receiver the one dude that's quick and shifty. I'm pretty sure it's Wes.
Wes yeah.
Yeah okay so yeah I would yeah. So start Wes, bench Travis, and then cut
Seth.
Seth.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to get some local contact flavor in there for you, you Camel City guys.
That's right.
Jordan, thank you so much for coming on the 50th episode of this,
man,
this podcast.
Thank you for being part of this.
Bro, yeah. I'm so honored. So honored.
You know, and this picture is from probably one of my best experiences as an official. And it was the weekend where you and me got to officiate together in Miami. Yes, it was like, it was a few days before my birthday. So Jacob definitely hooked us up and let yep. us officiate the entire weekend together. But I'm going to tell you right now, man, it did not matter what the player did or didn't do, how much they cussed me out, anything. I had a blast that weekend. And
bro,
and,
so much
and that's
fun.
All thanks to you, man.
I've never been cussed out by a child until that weekend. And honestly, I was only okay with it because you were on the field with me. I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to penalize him because my boy's aunt is making this day better.
And I know everybody's told the story because I constantly bring it up about how I beat you in a foot race, giving you a 15-yard head start.
That's true.
But I will say that if you and me decide to actually have a foot race in Tampa, I've put on about a good 35 pounds since you last saw me, so it might be a little closer than what it was in Miami.
Oh, my God. So – you know, I'm not sure if that's even the case because y'all boys haven't seen me in a while. I have definitely taken becoming married and being fat and happy to a whole new level. So,
oh man,
Jacob, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, as long as your pants aren't as tight as Zane's were when he was out there repping for his dog.
Bro, nobody's pants are that tight. That boy does not understand. He needs more material for that big ass body. Okay, it's embarrassing.
He's got the lower half of a middle aged woman.
The pockets were.
Bro, the other day, his back pockets and his front pockets were side by side. Those pants were so stretched. Okay, it made no sense. It was terrible.
It was the best thing ever.
What's that? What is it called? A fupa?
A fupa, yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I've never met a man with a fupa.
Hey, but we support it, though. We support it, you know? So.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah, yep. Eat that cheeseburger, bro.
Oh man. Jay, awesome. Do you have any final questions or thoughts with Jordan before we let him go?
Nah, man, I'm just so thankful for Jordan. He was one of the founders of this. He was one of the ones who got this going and wanted to be a part of this and make this happen. And I know life gets in the way a lot of the times, but you know, we always got him right here in the corner with us. So
yes, sir.
We're on, you know, we've got him with us, and you know, I'm just happy that, you know, he's gonna be in Tampa with us. We'll
I know.
Weekend.
Which I love you guys. You guys are fantastic.
Weekend. So, Jordan's been there since day one for me. So, you know, there's always a place that Jordan's always got a seat at the table no matter where we're at. So,
bitches.
Mr. P.
All right, Jordan.
Last thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm almost mad you tried to glaze over the fact that we almost fired you for that. Okay,
so, you're trying to keep on going. Well, because Well, my favorite. So my favorite part of that story, you know, technically we can't say because out of respect for others, and that's the best part of it. Anytime it's just that, it's kind of like an NDA. You know, you don't want to just throw people under the bus. But you know, hey, well, but yeah, but when that guy's Travis, you know, I was trying to be respectful.
Oh, well, that was hilarious.
Oh no, it was. Yeah, no, I mean, when he looked at me and when he started laughing and he looked at me, he said, "That's the best thing I've ever heard in my entire life." And then y'all started laughing. I was like, "Oh, you motherfuckers!" But at the same time, I was like, "I would not want to be anywhere else other than right here in this circle, just getting ripped on by all y'all." It was fantastic.
Such a good time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, Jordan, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight again.
Yes, sir. And, of course. Thank you.
We're only, what, a few weeks away from seeing you. So
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, happy holidays to you, and we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Hey, B-I-G out.
Okay, Jacob, I just got to tell you, man, you delivered tonight. Jonah and Jordan was a perfect combination.
Hey, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Both of them are great people. You know, they're great on the field. They're even better off. So, you know, it made for a good episode for sure.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, man, so I know you're super busy. We talked about it last week. You've been traveling. You're in the Bay. You're headed to Arlington this weekend. Anything you want to preview for this weekend for everybody?
I mean, it's going to be a pretty easy tournament, man. I think we're going to get in. We've got a few adult teams that are going to be there. It's going to be a lot of youth as well. So we're going to get in. We're going to get a little – this is the last event before World. So, you know, really excited for that. Try to, you know, iron out some final kinks with anybody who's got, you know, any kind of final work they want to get in. Be good for them there. But, yeah, it'll be a good time.
Nice. Cool. Well, that being said, I mean, this is just, again, this has been an amazing ride. 50 episodes. I can't believe it. But I feel like we're just getting started, honestly.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So,
cheers to the first 50, and can't wait for the next 50 to see where we're at.
There you go. And I think, you know, just bringing Jordan on, I miss him. Sometimes I just don't know where his stories are going.
No, like, sometimes.
I hold my breath a little bit, but I will say he's actually probably on the scale of being canceled. He's a notch below Dean, because I think the Cayman Islands, the Island Boy, and we really have to worry about what he says on this show.
Maybe we need to bring them on together. Make for a good time.
Yeah, it's a good time. Yeah, I mean, thankfully we don't record this live, so if something came up, we could totally just cut it. Yeah. All right. Well, that being said, you know, I want to always just announce where we're at. This is the best experience. Right here on YouTube, where you can see and hear and watch and all of that, and just be a part of the experience that is Clocks Running Podcast. But we are on every platform possible: Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeart. There's a lot of other ones out there, but we're on. I don't know. Just search for us, Clocks Running, and you will find us. We also just put all kinds of content. We've been having lots of fun lately with the top 25, because putting New Dynasty as number one just shook up the masses, and it got all kinds of response. The last few days we've been letting the fans vote, you know, kind of doing an Americans vote for who they think the fan favorite is for the number one team. Kind of like our own version of the college football playoffs. So took the top 12 teams, and they've been battling on social media. We already saw some upsets, though. I don't know if you noticed, but Top Shelf beat Lace Up in the voting. So, you know, I mean,
spoken.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I already got some response from Top Shelf. They're just thankful that the fans reached out, because right away they were like, Lace Up is an amazing team. You know, so that being said, though, like I said, we are on all the platforms. We're on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, Threads, TikTok right now, but it's about to get banned. So I don't even know if we should talk about TikTok anymore. Like,
I mean, it might get banned. It might not. We don't know what the government's going to do. Okay.
There's a lot of...
Is there a delay? How about that?
There we go. Yeah, we're on there until it's not. So, all right. Well, Jacob, thank you so much, and you have a good night.
Hey,
all right, man.